Okay, how are you, everybody? So we're doing tonight the story about the Konohagakure 70-year slumber. Strange story. So we did last time, just a quick recap. It's slightly related, which is that Konohagakure, there was no rain. He was in the time of the second base of Mikdash, and there was no rain. And he basically he stood in a circle and said to Hashem that he's not going to leave. He's not going to leave the circle tomorrow in Tainus, Daf Gimel. So he said he's not going to leave the circle until it rains. Okay, and sure enough, it ended up raining, right? It ended up raining. So I guess the basic idea we said, again, this is a longer story, but the basic idea we said is that the Chon Yamagil basically was setting up a situation where if it didn't rain, then he was going to die, right? And that would be a Chilul Hashem, because here it is, he's a tzaddik begging Hashem for it to rain, and what he's and it doesn't rain and he dies because he's stuck in the circle. So that would end up being a Chilul Hashem. And so to speak, in that sense, it's like he, so to speak, forced Hashem's hand. Hashem ended up giving into it and making it rain. And that was a massive stunt. That was, people criticized him for doing so, but bottom line is, Hashem did answer him. And it's in a certain sense, like a hunger strike, that kind of a thing. Like, do you really want the person to die in the hunger strike? I mean, it's not. But so Hashem deemed that it was the best thing, I guess, to answer him, and to basically better to save him than to prevent that Chilul Hashem of him dying in the circle. Okay. So that was the short version of what we said last time. So now we're up to, it's like 15 lines in the bottom, line 23a, top game on Aleph. So the Gemara explains a little bit about the follow-up of this story. Okay? Seemingly follow-up. Okay? So, Amar Rav Yochanan. Okay, the first word in the line has been, Ma'aseh Yadecha, right? Amar Rav Yochanan. Kol Yomav Shel Oso Tzadik. All the days of this Tzadik, who is this Tzadik? This Koni. Okay, I'm saying Zerach says that. I think so. Yeah. So all the days of Choni Hamagel, the tzaddik, he was always worried about this pasuk. He was sort of trying to understand this pasuk. Shir Hamalos b'Shiva Shemesh Shiva Sion heinik Cholma. So when Hashem returned, Shiva Sion, the Jews went into Galus and they came back after 70 years. Says they were like dreamers, right? He says so. It's like we were like dreamers. They came back. They reflected. It says we were like dreaming for Galus. Mika denayin shivin shnim b'chalma. Is it possible that someone could be sleeping for 70 years in a dream? Rashi, it says, "Kecholim kachalom nidma galas bavel shayashivin shama." So it's like the galas bavel is like a 70-year dream, right? It's like we were dreaming for 70 years. So he says, "Is it shnim shnim b'chalma? Mi isa denayin shivin shnim b'chalma? Is there someone who sleeps 70 years in a dream?" Right, hold on, it's a chaf, there's a little bah.
Lomar.
Lomar.
Vyesha.
V'yesh Adam Yashan. Yashin, Shivim Shana, V'shinachat. Someone sleep for 70 years in one sleep and dreaming, right? Okay. So, doesn't really make sense. What does that mean? We were like dreamers. We were like dreaming for 70 years?
Isn't it that we were dreamers when we were coming back?
I think it's the learning is when we came back, we reflected that our time there was like a
That we
dream.
had been like dreamers.
Right, we have been like dreamers, right?
And now the dream is over.
Right now it's
Dream.
over.
Okay.
Right. The thing is it such a thing as a person who could be dreaming for 7 years? I mean, it's not, I'm sure there's a lot of ways to interpret the pasuk. It doesn't sound like the most problematic thing. All the days he was wondering about this pasuk. Okay. So what happened? So then he tells the Gemara continues, right? So it says, Yom Achad, one day he was going on the road. So he saw a guy who was planting like a carob tree. Is it buck tree or something? So he's planting this tree. So Amar Lai, hi, Kamashnin Tonin. How many years is it going to take till that tree grows fruits? Right? How long is it going to take? So, it'll be 70 years. Are you so sure that you can live for 70 years? That you're planting a tree? I mean, come on. Right? It's a long-term strategy. Right? So, Amalei, hi, Gavra, Alma, Becharova, Ashkechai. This person said, Alma Becharova Ashkachte. So, I found this world with this Charuva tree, right? I found it with this Charuva tree, right? Because my forefathers planted it for me. Just like my fathers planted it for me. So I'm going to plant it for my kids. Right? So, in other words, I'm not planting it for myself. I'm planting it for my future generations, just like they did it for me. Okay. Sounds nice. Right? Not clear if this is related to this question, but whatever, right? This is the whole member, that's a story. Yasiv kakar chifta. So then he sat down and he was eating bread. Oscillation, say. And he fell into a sleep. Nim, and he slept. And Hadrolem Shun. Okay, so what does it say? Hadrolem. Also, of Shane Sela. So built, somehow got built around him, like this, like rocky type of a thing. Oh, Shane means exactly like a teeth, like some big rock formation that built around him. Okay, some sort of a cave, whatever. Ichsi me'ena, and it basically covered him up. V'nim shivan shanim, covered him from the world. No one could see him, and he slept for 7 years. Okay, that's interesting. That doesn't happen every day, right? Okay, so kikam, when he got up, chazi elihu gavra, d'havei melaket minayim, right? So he saw a person who was picking from this tree, right? From this carob, whatever, carob tree that they planted, right? Amarle, ahu deshalte? Are you the guy who planted it? He says, Amarle, bar bereana, I'm his grandson, right? So Amarle, he said, Shmamina, denaimi, shivan shnen. So apparently, I slept for 7 years. Okay, Chazalechamre. So he saw his donkey. Okay, the Isyalele Ramche Ramche. They had a bunch of kids. Rashi, Vlados Vlados. Many kids. But Elu Hashanah Denayim, during these 70 years that he slept, Muberes Zachar Haisa. So this is an interesting Rashi. This donkey was pregnant with a. The girl donkey is pregnant with a male child. Okay, the chazer uba'aleha, and this male child slept with his mother. The holido, and then they had kids. So therefore, they had, I guess, generations worth of donkeys during these 70 years. Okay, it's not clear how he knew that. Right, not clear how he knew that, and how it got pregnant from which, whatever.
Because he left the donkey tied up.
Yeah, I know. So you could say he left it tied up, or somehow the donkey was like in the cave with him, so there's no one else that it could have slept with because it was stuck in the cave. I don't know. It's not clear. It doesn't seem like it was in the cave, right? Because he already went to somebody else and asked them about the tree. So, not clear. Somehow he became. It was clear to him that that was the thing. Yeah, maybe he left it tied up. Then what happened? Then the story keeps going. So what happened? So Ozilabe, so he went to his house. So he says, he asked, is the son of Choni Amagil still alive? His son is not alive, but Bar Isa, his grandson is alive. So he said to his grandson, Anah Choni Amagil. I'm Choni Amagil. It's me. Right? Okay. So, lo himnuhu, they didn't believe him. Which is reasonable. It's reasonable, right? Okay. So, Azal the base medrash. So he went to the base medrash. Where else is he going to go, I guess? Shaminu l'rabbanan de ka'amri nihirin shmeita kibishnei. So here the Rabbanan said, wow, that is the clearest, clear ideas, like the days of Chonimago. Rashi. Mugaslanu shmuazu ki. This is like proper, correct, this thing we're learning, as if we learned in the days of Chonimago. Because he would answer it for us and he'd correct it for us, but perfect, solid. Haven't heard a svar like that since the days of Chonei Ma'agel, type of thing, right? The Chiyave Ayel Abay Medrashah, because when he went to the base Medrash, Kol Kushi Da'avilu Rabbanon, every question the Rabbanon had on the Faraklo, he would end up answering for them. This is part of what they said, right? This is not what happened currently. This is what they said would happen, right? So Amar Lahu, so Choni said to them, It's me. I'm this Choni Ma'agel of whom you speak. Lo him knew, they didn't believe him. Lo avdi la yikr in the mainland, they didn't do give him honor that he was deserving, right? Okay, chalash daite. So he became very sad. About Yirachme, and he asked for mercy, umes, and he died. He couldn't go on. This is what people say, oh chavrusa or misusa. Either I have a chavrusa or I'm gonna die. Right? Rashi says, it says, friends don't treat him with kavod like he used to be, then he's better to die. Inami. Okay, for uni. Okay, so whatever. It's like a saying, basically. Without chavrusa, you get something like that. Okay, and okay, that's basically a story. I mean, it goes on to other times, like his children had these things, and they asked for a quart of rain, and it would come down. And then it has some stories about how these guys, some of them would hide, and they wouldn't want people to ask them to make it rain, and things like that. But. Whatever. Let's leave it. Let's go into other rain stories. So, okay, that's the end of the story. So, any questions? Okay, good question. I love that question. Right. How does anyone know the story? Right. Who told them the story? Right. And as this guy comes along and he claims it's only a mago, and no one believes him. Okay. And then he dies. And then what? Then somehow they're like, oh, that was him. Doesn't seem like it was him. Right. Yeah, how does anyone know the story? Right, that's, I guess, the question. Assuming it's a literal story, how in the world would we ever know it? So someone said, who was, but someone says, Eliyahu came afterwards and told them that it was honey. But, begs the question, why didn't Eliyahu come beforehand and tell them it was honey? That would have made things a lot easier, you know? It's a hard answer. It's a good question. What was he so bothered by that passage? He says, we're asleep. It's like we're 7 years of asleep. Who said it's one long sleep for 7 years? I don't know. Maybe they woke up and went back to sleep, woke up and went back to sleep. Just as we come back, we came back. He says, oh, it's like we were dreaming the whole time. Okay.
Right.
There's a lot of ways to interpret it, but I mean, even if you interpret it that it means that, yeah, it's like we were dreaming. So, how could you have a 7 year sleep? I mean, it's hard to understand altogether. Right. Exactly. Once it's kachol, then, right, it's like we're dreaming for 7 years. So, there's no such thing as actual dreaming. Okay. It's like we're dreaming. Did you wake up in between? I don't know. Yeah. Especially once it's like dreaming, then maybe it could be 7 years. It's only the actual dreaming that you can't do for 7 years, but like dreaming, you can do for 7 years. Okay. Good question. Assuming that this is literal, which is again, it's open question. There's an open question. Is this a real story? Is it not a real story? Okay. But assuming that it's a real story. So then the question is, apparently you'd have to say it's an ace, presumably. I don't think I could live in a sleep for 7 years unless it's some deep coma. I don't really know. I'm no expert in deep comas, but sounds extreme. But if so, then why in the world would there be an ace for such a thing? Right? Like, Nisim's supposed to have a purpose. What kind of purpose is this? Just to let him live 7 years in his sleep and then wake him up and then have him die because he's lonely. Right? And the whole thing just sounds, the whole story sounds, it sounds like a fairy tale, right? Isn't there like a Rip Van Winkle or something, some story like this?
Yeah.
Some ace for 7 years, you know? I don't know the Rip Van Winkle story, but, whatever. That's a lesson, this whole thing. The whole thing sounds strange. And if you want to say it's not literal, I mean, okay, still, is that, it doesn't quite, like, okay, so what's the point? right?
No, yeah, you're the
Okay,
name of
good. So,
the
Moshe, there's other questions. Is this in any way related to the fact that the other Coney Michael stories of him making it rain? Or is it just two stories that happen to happen to the same guy who's got strange things happening to him? Yeah.
Likewise, is this
Yeah, good
person?
question. Is it related to the pasuk?
I mean,
A good question. Is it pasuk? Also, is it related to that 70-year the guy with the tree planting the thing for his kids? Is that like that? Is that related? That sort of sounds a little bit related, but not that related, right? It's related to his donkey. I don't like all these different parts. It's like not clear why any of this means anything or has any significance. It's just a lot of weird things happening that don't seem to be connected in any particular way. Right? What do you need the donkey for? And a donkey that he slept with his kid, and I mean the whole thing sounds like
and his family
that.
and the
That
Beit HaMikdash.
relevant? You know, the family in the Beis Medrash not believing him. Why didn't they believe him?
What's
I mean, I
what?
guess so. But he couldn't convince them? I don't know. Like, let's do trivia or something. I gotta be some way to convince him. You know, I guess they didn't have family portraits or anything. But also, it's interesting how they said in the Beis Medrash that this is such a clear idea, like the Zichron Yamagil, you know? What's the takeaway of that, you know? Couldn't figure out what does it mean? Someone's asleep for 7 years. How could he sleep 7 years? Oh, now he's like, now I slept for 7 years. Now I understand the pasuk. What? It's talking about Choni Amal, guys who sleep for 7 years? They weren't sleeping for 7 years in the Galus like you were. So what's the... This is somehow, seemingly, it sounds like this is somehow trying to answer how they had to understand the pasuk, but it doesn't quite add up. That's what it sounds like. It sounds like we were screaming about this for 7 years, and we finally got there. He says, wow, our dream finally came true. This is what we've been dreaming about for 7 years. And he's like, what? Your dream for 7 years? No one dreams for 7 years. No. I know. Why is this such a big kasha for him? Oh, he's bothered by how could he be dreaming of something? Was he so bothered by the guy planting the carrot for 7 years? Like, whatever, that's what people plan for the future. You understand the idea of planning the future? They got a great answer, but it's hard to believe. What, that was such a kasha for well, it was like, if you're not doing something for yourself, I remember being a Maid Marzmal Pela for the whatever, I don't know, for the future of the generations. Like, is that such a hard thing to understand? I'm the Lakeda, so it's a Harashem Yeroah, like whatever. It's the idea of thinking about the future. Such a big Kiddush.
Yaakov assigned how they should all carry, how
Yeah,
where
right.
they
Every
should
side of the
stand and
thing.
all
Yeah,
that.
right. Everything. Right. We're always thinking about the future. So such a Kiddush. Okay, good question. What's the relevance of Rav Zadiah? That Russo Misusa? That's the side point or somehow that's vital to the whole story? Yeah, good question. So let me, you guys think a lot of good things. I have some thoughts somewhere and some additional points. Also, just as a disclaimer. So I learned this like a month ago at the Rav Zimmer. And I kind of forgot some of the ideas. But so I'm like kind of recreating a little bit. I had a quick chat with him beforehand, and we both, did our best to recreate. But, it was really good then. So it's not great. Maybe I can need a little bit of help now, and, but it's interesting. It is interesting. So here's like one thing I want to bring to the table, which I guess what you aren't. Again, a lot of what I'm going to say is overlap, but let me start off with something bring to the table, which you guys aren't saying. So, Zichroni's, and this is, I think, it's on the heels of the other story. See, in the previous story, Hashem was really punishing people. He was starving them out, right? They were basically having a drought. And ultimately, Zichroni came to the rescue and basically forced Hashem's hand, right? But if let's say Zichroni didn't step up and force Hashem's hand, it seems like it wasn't going to rain, right? And yeah, and they die. And there would be people who would die. Some people would die, and they die, and at some point, arguably, they'd be moved, forced to the teshuva, right? And in a certain sense, the Choni was like protecting the people. He felt that the people can't handle this, like Magefa. They're suffering, they're starving, they're gonna die, they're gonna get distance from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He has to stop it. He has to make sure to protect the people of his time. Because they're gonna die and they're gonna become totally disillusioned by Hashem, so he wanted to bring them close to Daven da Hashem. Hashem's gonna supply for them, and it worked in a sense. What it could be is the message was that was not the right plan. He forced Hashem's hand, then it would have been a chal Hashem if Hashem didn't answer, or given his stunt, if Hashem didn't answer, it would have been a chal Hashem, and Hashem was agreed. It was a good idea. But the best thing is get Coney out of the way, and let the be the correction. It's like in a business. I don't know, business. You let the business go bankrupt and let it fall apart and restructure and start again. There's toxicity in the whole way it's being run, and you gotta let it iron out the kinks, fall, crumble, realize what went wrong, and start again from scratch. And it could be that was ultimately what was necessary for Israel. There needed to be a correction. There needed to be an onesh. The people were at a low level. And Hashem was giving them an onesh of making them having no rain. And a lot of them, in theory, would starve and die. And it would be a very tough time, painful like crazy. But he didn't let that happen. He felt the need to protect them, like to bail them out, so to speak. Print money, save the whatever. It's like he needed to, there was like a short-term problem and he had to like patch it up and solve it. He couldn't see the long game, which is basically it's a tough pill to swallow. But there's an onesh mashem, and to let it happen and to let the people die, let the onesh run its course, and allow the people to straighten themselves out through the onesh, right? Now, it could be he felt, it's not that he didn't understand the idea of a long game. It could just be he thought that the people, once God punishes them, see, punishment is a tricky thing. Kind of like a parent punishes a kid, throw him out of the house. Is that good? I mean, you might, I'm sure these people have this. You throw him out of the house, you may never see him again. Is he going to come back? That's it. You might end your relationship forever. You want to throw your son or your kid out of the house because he's a troubled kid or whatever? Throw him out. Maybe you're never going to see him. Or maybe you will see him. Maybe he'll come back one day and he'll realize it and he'll come back and he'll make a great relationship. But it's not so simple. Not so simple. Do you really want to send them packing? Maybe it's going to be all over. And it could be like he sensed that if the people are at a low level, and if you're just going to beat them down, they're going to lose everything. Are they going to really come to Hashem, or are they just going to reject Hashem and say Hashem's not taking care of us? And it could be he was like trying to hold them tight, to show them that Hashem is with them and to keep them in, in the relationship with Hashem. And he was afraid that to just let the onesh run its course and just to let them, have the consequences of being distanced from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it only drift farther and farther and farther away. And so it could be that was like he was wondering. It's like, how is it possible that they're going to be able to get thrown away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu and somehow find their way back? And maybe that's what he's worried about, like the thing of like, this is reminiscent of the Gullus. Hashem threw them out of Eretz Yisrael, right? And in fact, there were 7 years there in Gullus, and one might think when you get thrown to Gullus, that's it. You leave HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's all over. And they did, the Klal Yisrael drifted far away and they married all these non-Jewish women and they became very sinful there in Gullus. Gullus is tough. You know how it is in Gullus. It makes you assimilate. You got all kinds of, you learn from the guy. It's not so simple. But somehow the Pasuk is claiming that they were like Holman. Despite as far as they drifted in Gullus, as far as they learned from the Gaim and they were removed from HaKadosh Baruch Hu and they left Eretz Yisrael and the Mikdash and everything, yet they were still dreaming all along, dreaming about that day when they could come back to the Mikdash. And when they came back, it's like, it's like we were dreaming the whole time. We never forgot about Hashem. It's like the whole time, yes, we were asleep and we were in the world of Shmutz and Gullus and all those things. But at the same time, like our dreams were about the Mikdash. And it's like he didn't understand that. It doesn't seem like that's the way things work. You throw them into Gullus and you punish them, you remove them from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. How is that good? How does that keep you rooted? You're not going to still be dreaming for that. On the contrary, it goes long enough, that's it. You're going to be cut off. Now, we know that they did come back, and there was a second Mikdash, which, wasn't great, but whatever. But it's like he didn't understand, he didn't see how that process would work out. As far as he saw it, is that that process is something which ultimately destroys people and cuts them off from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And, he knows, I guess, in fact, that it did happen, but it's like he doesn't grasp it. He's always been wondering, how is that possible? How did that happen? And how would that happen? And he couldn't, because he didn't understand it, it's like he couldn't let it happen again. He was like, they're in the second Mikdash. and they needed another correction process. But it's like he couldn't grasp the nature of that. It seemed to him is like that you cut the people off, they're going to lose everything. And therefore, he didn't let them. But he was wrong. He was wrong. I'm not sure we could get into how, but in fact, he was wrong, and that's why the Hashgacha had it, that it had to get him all out of the scene. So whether it means Hashem put him into a coma, or Hashem threw him to some faraway land, he got, I don't know, on a boat that he ended up somewhere, who knows where, whatever it is. He was out of the picture for 7 years. Okay, maybe 7 years in exaggeration, I don't know, but for a while. Basically, there's the Hashgacha. It's like he wasn't Chayav Misa, because he wasn't a bad guy, but he was not productive to be in that society. The society needed to run its course, and the Onesh had to run its course, like the Tochacha. The Tochacha says, I mean, it gets bad, and it had to get bad, and he wasn't letting it. He was like artificially propping them up through his tefillah, through forcing Hashem's hand, through Hashem, his whole plan. And he was preventing the natural illness running its course. So what Hashem did is, again, I don't know what the particular was, but he basically made him removed from the society in a way that for 7 years. Now, part of the thing is, again, I guess, going back to the tree, and this is kind of the points you were saying, is like there is a long game of 7 years, a 7 year plan, which is like the guy's planting his carob tree for 7 years. And it's like, I don't know, how are you going to put this thing in the tree and fruit 7 years? I don't know. It's like, doesn't seem, how is that going to happen 7 years later? It's like, whatever. Like, but people do it, and it works, and it's true. So it's like, but that was, like, I guess he couldn't, I don't know if this, it could be, it's a muscle for existing, but like he didn't see the long plan. He couldn't really wrap his head around the plan of letting them all die. Letting them all get thrown away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu and suffer and starve their way out and somehow come back. It didn't seem to him that's planting a tree. In his mind, that wasn't planting a tree. It's going to come back in 7 years. In his mind, that's just throwing seeds into the ground. You know, whatever.
The forefathers who planted the carob tree for him are the people that came back from the Golos. So, too, you can plant the tree now for 70 years and it'll survive.
Could be right. That was the same guys who came back from the Gullahs. They had 70 years, and that was right. When they left the Gullahs, that was like planting a tree for 70 years later, and we could do the same thing now.
Basically, that would be the answer. We have caribs now. Where do you think they came from?
Right. Right. I mean, the people who we have now are, or maybe right before us, were the result of the Gullahs. So maybe we could have another one. Right. We could have another one. Yeah, so then we had another point. I was trying to get the points that we had, and then we can see if we can fill out some of more of the details. But the donkey, right? So Rabbi Zimmer wanted to say that the donkey is a mashal for the Amaratzim. Sometimes, like Chazal call like the Amaratz like a donkey. Or it says your kids aren't the Amaratzim because you call the Amaratz a donkey. Or like Amadon, yeah, right, exactly. Amadon, they say like the bia of a guy is like the bia of a donkey. Like a donkey is like an animal. Like the people are like an animal. And again, you see the donkey is sleeping with its kids. And, you know, so it's like basically it's like the people were the donkeys, or a lot of the people were donkeys. There were people in the generation who were like donkeys. There were Amarats and they were low level people. And that's why he was afraid to leave them be and to just let them, you know, run their course because it's going to be messy. They're going to sleep with their mother and it's going to be, you know, a bloodbath. What's going to happen? But it's true, but 7 years later, there's a lot of their kids around the world. So yes, it's true. There was a reckoning and there was damage which happened. But bottom line is the 7 years later, they're alive and there's kids and there's whatever. And like, yes, there are pieces to be picked up. Maybe there's some Zerim running around or whatever it is. But it ended up at the end of 7 years, the trees grew. Right, the trees grew, donkeys had kids, the world went on. And I think that's part of the point, is like, it didn't, when he woke up, the world, and there was a base medrash, and they were learning Torah, and they were reflecting back on the Torah of Oni Amagil, and it's like where he thought that basically the world would collapse, and the people would be totally destroyed. He was right a little bit, they were mamzerim around, or whatever, they slept with the kids, but ultimately, the world went on. There was an Onesh, and I don't know, maybe there were 7 years that were messy and they were bloody or whatever, but the kids died out or whatever. But it's a new generation of people who are reflecting back on the Torah of Machaneh Magel, reflecting how clear it was and saying, wow, that was a great shot, remember that? And it's like he kind of saw, maybe he gave him some insight. I don't know, maybe he got insight into how it worked. I don't know. But ultimately, like there is, and maybe that's something to think about. Like, what is the lesson? Like, he didn't, I don't know, maybe we get some insight, but like, he didn't see how it can happen. Like, what is the process of Gullus? You know? And look, this is what we're in. We're in the 2000 year Gullus. And you'd think it would break us. It would totally cause us to assimilate and to die in the nations and to lose the Torah and to lose everything. But somehow, we still have it. And despite that they're trying to kill us, and despite the fact that we sin and we learn from the ways, ultimately, it somehow keeps us, the Gullus keeps us alive, or Ashgacha keeps us, who knows? It's not clear what the process is exactly. But that's like what he didn't quite get, and I'm not sure if we could get the lesson exactly how it works. But maybe through this story, he gained some insight when he came back and he saw it. Now he, in theory, now that the society corrected, in theory, he's ready to go back. Now Hashem woke him up, put him back in society. But, like I think you were saying, is like it doesn't work that way. The society is a different society. And if he would have grown alongside the society, then he could have grown with them and adjusted and adapted to the new, all the changes, and he would have been a leader to work them through the tzaras and all that. But bottom line is the society did its own, it ran its course. And you can't just now take a 70 guy from 70 years ago and put him back into the society. They didn't recognize him. It's like it could be, maybe they really didn't recognize him, but it means like he couldn't take up the mantle of leadership. He was a leader of a different generation, and they're different. You can't take a leader from Europe and put him into America. It's like, no, they're different. They're not, it just doesn't work. They're different types of people, different types of mindset. And it's like they wouldn't, like, not only didn't they recognize him, even if they didn't recognize him, fine, so you don't recognize him, but let him take up, let him answer all the shaylos now. Let him be a gadol now. But it's just like they're like, honestly, they changed. They're different, and he wasn't there with them to be able to, you know, to experience the changes which they underwent. And he was like a gadol of a yester era. And he wasn't able to find his place in the society. And ultimately, he couldn't handle it. He died in Davin. It's just like that's it. It's like he's just a guy, one person on his own to just sit and learn Torah. It's like it's not a life. He couldn't live that way. Yeah, it could be that's like saying there's an underlying connection of the Jews to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that even through the worst of the Galus, the worst of the Tsaros, there still is a connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to the Torah that isn't extinguished, and you still dream about it. And even if we're in Galus, you still dream about that day when we come back to the Mikdash and we come back. And it's like he felt like they would get extinguished, but I don't know. It's like he didn't have like a sort of trust, I guess, in the underlying connection of the Klal Yisrael to the Torah, which could handle it could handle a Torah, it could handle a Galus, it could handle terrible tzaros. And just because you beat them down doesn't mean that they're going to leave. Some people do leave, though. I mean, that's the thing. Some do. But ultimately, it's it corrects and it ends up better off. Again, these are the challenges. Like, I know there's like those, all this, you know, and they have that all, the bubble and the Bear Stearns and all these like too big to fail types of things. You have this in like economics or whatever. Do you let the big companies go down and, you know, the whole depression, do you let a depression happen and then, you know, pick up the pieces after and it'll end up stronger? Or do you just try to keep trying to prop it up? I mean, these are not so simple, these things, you know. Will we recover from that type of thing? Who knows? What will be the damage? So there is a mentality of, like, try to keep it going. Try to protect them. But, you know, and this, again, the same type of thing could be with a kid, with whatever. It's like, these things are not so simple. But ultimately, it's like, it sounds like he wasn't letting it happen, so the Hashgacha, you know, got him out of the picture. So I guess I'm learning it's like it was literal. I don't know if it literally that he was asleep for 7 years. I'm not sure what happened. Somehow he was out of the picture. You know, maybe, I don't know if comas are possible to be like that, but that's not the point. The point is he had to be removed from the society. And the society had to go on without him. By the way, are there other stories of other Gedolim after him? There was a bunch of stories right after this, but some of them they tried to hide. They wouldn't let people, like I think it was like a mistake in a certain sense. And other ones, his sons, his grandsons, or whatever, they like people tried to get them to daven for them, and they used to hide and daven in private. Because this didn't work. This was like it became clear that this was a mistake. It wasn't good for the people to be. It's like you're protecting the people from the onesh, and it wasn't a good idea to be able to just rescue them whenever you needed to. It's true. There's definitely a time in Shoran saying is like see Moshe Nachay Regel and at the Rago.
Or Abraham.
Yeah. Stone. Yeah, definitely. I mean, but Abraham's stone,
that didn't work out.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess, yeah, look, that's why it's not simple. I mean, it's not simple. Sometimes you're right. Sometimes you try to protect your people, and sometimes you have to let them go. And that's why it's like what's oversimplifying. I think we're oversimplifying it just to sometimes you're right. Sometimes you do have to protect them. And sometimes it's the leader's job to try to don't. Hashem wanted to wipe out Klai Yisrael and build a new nation with Moshe. But he says, no, I refuse to, and that's not going to work. And he had a right to say that, and we have him to thank. And maybe it was the right call, you know, but it's not clear. That's why, you know, it's like we could just say, sit back and play whatever the quarterback is called, you know, whatever it is.
Moshe's situation was more unique.
Yeah.
Because he says,
Hashem gave him an opening, the unopened. Yeah, like my point is, every situation is a little bit different, and it's not so clear. It's just in this situation, and look, that's why Choni had an assessment that this was what was going to do. It's not like I don't think he didn't understand that this was sometimes necessary. He didn't see it here. He didn't see it as being a reasonable option, but Hashem did see it as being a reasonable option. And therefore, Hashem had to knock him out. But it's not, it's not simple. Is there right? Sometimes, and the particular every case is telling the particulars. You know, you have to know the people, know whether they think they're going to be able to bounce back, know how bad they are, know if you have another way to keep them, you know. He felt that he could keep them strong and keep them connected to Torah. You know, maybe if you could stop the bleeding, maybe it is better. But he couldn't. And Hashem, you know, it could be he was overly attached to being able to save the people, but it wasn't going to work. Hashem knew it wasn't going to work, but as he that's his judgment. So ultimately, the Ashkacha has to, that's why it's not like just a simpleton mistake. He just was, you know, it's all totally in the particulars, and that's why it could be ultimately Hashem had to step in, because no one was going to convince him otherwise. Yeah, I mean, it's interesting to read. If you're interested, you can read some more of the stories in a row. I mean, these are strange stories. This whole set of stories here, and the Tainus is like a daf or two here. I mean, there's very strange, on the surface, very strange stories, you know, but some of them are in the spirit about, you know, I think in line with this idea that this type of a tefillah is not a good idea, and it's like almost phony. Created like, and he was a tough act to follow because the people started like expected it because he did it once, and then they used to hock the other Gedolim to do the same thing. In Bavel, they had like a different thing, they never, no one ever did that. They just daven normal, whatever, and that was fine. They were able to daven in a public way. But since like the people became hooked on this type of a thing, it prevents, in a certain sense, it prevents them from being true. Because they just really go to the magic man, they go to the Honi, and that's it. So now you're not in the tshuva. You just know that you could just rely on Choni. That's another part of the problem. It's like it becomes an obstacle to real tshuva because you just trust, you know, you just put your hang and you go to Choni. So that's why I think they started hiding. It wasn't good for the people. They needed to know that they had a tshuva, not that you just go to him and just let him do his circle. That wasn't, but it's like you couldn't undo it. You couldn't walk it back. Hashem had to get rid of him, totally like had to reset the society. There's some more details to be explained, but, you know, this is the general approach.